السلام عليكم شيخ سالم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
كيف حالك شيخ؟
اللهم لك الحمد، الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. We are ready when you are, inshallah.
I'm ready, الحمد لله.
Okay, let us begin. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to our weekly Dars, Virtues of Islam, lesson number 20, with our honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, and Sheikh can begin. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا Sheikh Salim Al-Amri.
بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Today is our weekly class, فضائل الإسلام, Virtues of Islam. And the virtue of today, which we are going to elaborate upon, it is controlling one's tongue. Yes, this organ, which is the most dangerous organ in the human body, this limb, this organ, if it's not controlled and kept under control, it will lead someone to destruction. It will lead someone to be placed in the bottom of the hellfire. Or, if it is controlled, you can be in the higher levels and higher ranks in Jannah. This organ, every day, all the rest of the limbs, they seek Allah's protection against the evil of the tongue. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to control it if we want to succeed. Our master, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he used to hold his tongue and he would say, "You are the one that's going to ruin me, destroy me." So this is the tongue, this tongue. We should not treat its danger lightly. An Arab poet has said, describing the danger of the tongue, he said, "احذر لسانك أيها الإنسان لا يلدغنك إنه ثعبان، احذر لسانك أيها الإنسان لا يلدغنك إنه ثعبان، كم في المقابر من قتيل لسانه كانت تخاف لقاءه الشجعان." Beautiful. The meaning, he's saying, احذر لسانك. Be aware, O son of man. Be aware from, be aware of your tongue, O son of man, أيها الإنسان, O mankind, O children of Adam. Be aware, take care of this little organ. احذر لسانك أيها الإنسان. Be aware. Be aware of your tongue, O son of man. لا يلدغنك إنه ثعبان. Lest it bites you. It is indeed a snake. It is a poisonous snake. It is a snake that vents its venom into your body. So we have to be aware of the venom of the tongue, the poison of the tongue. لا يلدغنك إنه ثعبان. يلدغ means to bite. When you are bitten by a snake, so he is likening the tongue to a snake, like a snake. And you know when a snake bites, what happens? The poison, the venom, goes into your body. And the venom of the tongue goes to your heart and kills your heart. Kills your heart. لا يلدغنك إنه ثعبان. So be aware. So in order not to get bitten by it, because indeed it is a snake and its bite is fatal. كم في المقابر من قتيل لسانه. كانت تخاف لقاؤه الشبعان. Many in their graves, many people in their graves are killed by their tongue. By their tongue. Their tongue killed them. كانت تخاف لقاؤه الشجعان. Though, when they were alive, those men who are now in their graves, the brave men used to fear them. So what is the root cause behind their death? Their tongues. They said something, a word, and that caused their death. Don't you see people commit crimes because of a word they uttered? He insulted him. He pulled out his gun and he shot him because of a word. He didn't control his tongue. So this is what the poet is talking about. Though this man who was killed, when he was alive, people, they are afraid of him. He is a brave man. But now he's in his grave. And what killed him? His tongue killed him. His tongue killed him. كم في المقابر من قتيل لسانه كانت تخاف قاءه الشجعان. So many people who are dead and they are in their graves. They were killed by their tongues. كانت تخاف قاءه الشجعان. This person who's now lying, pushing up the daisies, and he was alive, the faith, they fear him. But now he is dead because of his tongue. So that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to control it, to control this little organ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, ayah 16, warning us about rumors and how should we behave when we hear rumors. A Muslim, first of all, should not lend his ears to anyone. He should not lend his ear to the backbiters and the slanderers and the liars. The Quran teaches us, my dear brothers and sisters, to verify any news, any piece of information we receive. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ. So when a fasiq, a wicked person, immoral person, untrustworthy person, fasiq, sinner, gives you piece of information, tells you news, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَى. What should we do, our Lord? فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Verify what he said before you judge and before you take a decision and say something, before your action. Verify. Verify what you heard. Don't act immediately. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. In another قِرَاءَةَ فَتَثَبَّتُوا. تَبَيَّنُوا, تَثَبَّتُوا. The same meaning, to verify. And by the way, all the, when we say another قِرَاءَةَ, it is also read by the Prophet ﷺ. So all these قِرَاءَةَ al-ashr, the 10 قِرَاءَةَ we have of the Quran, they are all correct, all read by the Prophet ﷺ. To make it easy upon the Arabs, the tribes. Because mainly the Quran came in the tongue of Quraysh. So some of the tribes, they were facing difficulties. So Allah made it easy for them. So Allah is asking us to verify. فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ. Lest that you harm people out of ignorance. فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Then you regret for that. So verify, verify, verify when you hear something. The ulama, rahimahumullah, they mention in their books, they say a Muslim qadi, the judge, Muslim judge, should not judge if someone comes to him carrying his eye on his palm. Say, chief qadi, see, so and so, he removed my eye. So the ulama, they say, it is haram for the qadi to issue hukum, ruling, judgment before seeing the other one who's accused. Maybe this one he lost only one eye, but that one lost both of them. Both of them. So he has to verify. So this ayah, Surah An-Nur, talks about an incident happened in Medina. And it is very, very touchy and very effective and harmful to the reputation of the Prophet ﷺ, because his honor has been accused. His wife or mother Aisha was accused. And this is known as Hadithat al-Ifk, the event of the fabricated lie, that fabricated story, which the hypocrites fabricated. The background of it, as you know, that the Prophet ﷺ was in Ghazwa, military expedition, and Aisha happened to be with him, and Aisha was light, was not that, she hadn't put on weight. So they thought that she was already inside the, what we call the Hawdaj or the Hawda. And they moved. And she was not there. She lost her necklace and she was looking for it. So they left her. One of the Sahaba, who that normally someone will be after the army to see if there is, if they lost anything. So she was sitting, covering herself. So when he saw her, say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What left her behind? He didn't say anything to her. He just made the camel to sit down. She mounted and they followed the army. So the hypocrites, they found it a chance and they started to talk about her. And she was unaware of what is going on. And she felt sick. One month, the people are spreading rumors. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down that she's innocent. She's pure, clean. So anyone who accuses our mother Aisha today, he's not a Muslim, because he does not believe in what the Quran says. So here Allah says, ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم. So here Allah is educating the Muslims and teaching them how they should, because some of the Muslims, not the hypocrites, some of the Sahaba fell into this trap of the shaitan and talked about her. So Allah is teaching them, Allah said, and why did you not, when you heard it, when you heard the rumor, this should have been your stance, your reaction. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم. This should have been your reaction. And why did you not, when you heard it, say, it is not right of us to speak of this? You should have rejected it by default. This can never happen in the household of the Prophet ﷺ, because Allah protects the honor of his Prophet. So anyone today accuses our mother Aisha, he is insulting the Prophet ﷺ, accusing his honor that he lived with a woman who is unchaste, astaghfirullah al-azim. And you are insulting Allah, that Allah chose an indecent, unchaste woman to be the wife of his prophet. So those who are talking, they don't know what is coming out of their heads. So anyone talks about Aisha radiallahu anha, he insults the prophet, and insulting the prophet is kufr. And he's not a Muslim. And why did you not, when you heard it, say, it is not right of us to speak of this? ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا. سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم. Glory be to you, O Allah. This is a most serious slander. Serious slander, great slander, big lie. You should not entertain such rumors and spread them. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this should be always the stance of the Muslim when you hear a rumor about your brothers or your sisters, talking about them, about their honor. Say, ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا. It is not right of us to speak of this. You should not entertain. Even if it is true. Even if it is true, a Muslim, male or female, committed shameful deed, what should we do? We cover it up. We make sitters. We cover it. We don't expose them. We don't expose them. من ستر مسلما في الدنيا ستره الله يوم القيامة. So if you conceal and cover up the sin of your brother or your sister, Allah will also cover up your sins on that day. And we are all full of sins. We have loads, loads of sins. Don't we want our sins to be covered? Don't we want to be forgiven and not to be exposed in front of everyone? The answer definitely is, we want that. We don't want to be exposed. We want Allah to forgive us and to cover up our sins and shortcomings. So this should be the attitude of the Muslim. You saw your sister doing something. I didn't say anything. Fear Allah, repent. Fear Allah and repent. Not your blackmail. I have captured, I have your picture. then you blackmail. No, or you blackmail the brother. Or you say, I will put it on the net. No, all that. That's all haram. All haram. Don't you know in the courts, they don't accept all these things as proof or evidence. Okay, I recorded, and this is a clip that will be discarded. It is not right of us to speak of this. هذا بهتان عظيم. This is a most serious slander. What Allah says in Surah Al-Hujurat, Ayah 12. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. Allah says, all you who believe, avoid much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicions are sins. And spy not, neither backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it. So hate backbiting. And fear Allah. Verily, Allah is the one who accepts repentance, most merciful. Let us reflect. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. So Allah is addressing the believers. Ijtanibu kathiran min al-dhan. Dhan means guessing, conjecture. It's not yaqeen, it's not certainty. Inna ba'd al-dhanni ithm. So Allah is telling the believers, avoid the dhan. Avoid much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicions are sins. But the suspicion, which is based on science, indications, that's not prohibited. You see some indications, some signs from your enemies. So here you have to be cautious. You have to be cautious. Of course, you don't act on this, on such suspicions and conjectures, but you take care, okay, and prepare yourself. Or you see some signs in the behavior of your son or your daughter. He's always late, he's always awake, he's always locking his door. So there are things that make you think there is something fishy going on. You see, your son is having valuable items. You didn't give him money, so where did he get these items? Or your daughter, she's having expensive watch or rings or your wife. So here, this is permissible. You have the right to find out, but you don't make judgment before you are certain. But this should be eye-openers for you. Don't you know, Mary, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Al-Batul, okay? Maryam Al-Batul, the chaste, Madonna, that is her name, title for her. That's the meaning of Madonna. Madonna means Mary, the most chaste woman. Who has given all her life for ibadah, devoted her life for ibadah, a devout worshiper. Zachariah is her guardian, one of Allah's prophets. Who takes care of her. So when he visits her, he sees fruit that are not supposed to be in that season. Fruit of winter in summer, fruit of summer in winter. So he questioned her. How you get this? He is questioning Mary. How do you get these things? It's not the season for it. And this is very important to ask. How did you get this? I know what the amount of money I gave you. That money will not buy you this expensive item. How did you get it? Explain to me. Did you steal it? Did anyone give it to you? Did anyone give it to you? Who gave it to you and why? Okay. That's how you uproot the corruption. Uproot the corruption. You see, when they are checking, for example, the honesty of ministers and people who are in big positions, they know what they have before they took that position, that post. They know what they have in the bank. So if they are misusing their authority and they are making fortune, how did they get it? Explain. Or you who believe. Avoid much suspicion. Yes, much of it. Most of it is baseless. It's just basing you think and you have no tangible. You don't have any indications. You don't have proofs. So that is haram. So Allah is saying, avoid it. Indeed, some suspicions are sins because you suspect someone who's innocent. Okay, any person is innocent until he is proven guilty. Until and unless he is proven guilty. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ. Then Allah is saying, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ. And spy not. Spy not. That's haram, to spy on people. To spy on your enemies, that's okay. But to spy on your own brothers and sisters, no. How about the children? Can you check when they are not there, check their badge. Okay, when you are arranging things, do they have things under? Without letting them know, of course, because the trust should be there. But you can, just in case. And especially if you have gut feeling, you have feelings, you feel something fishy. You see the eyes of your child, they are red, and see his lips. These are symptoms of someone who's using drugs. Okay. So that is fine without letting them know. Yeah. We have this mutual trust. But it's not absolute. We have to keep our eyes open, especially parents, for the upbringing of children, because there are things going on. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا and spy not. And there is no valid reason for that. To know people's and things about the people, what they are doing. Why should you bother yourself with that? Or eavesdropping, people are talking in the other room and you are listening. No, that's haram. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Neither backbite one another. So this is another major sin. Another major sin to backbite. The riba. And the Prophet ﷺ defined it. Riba is to mention something about your brother in his, which he doesn't or she doesn't like, it to be mentioned, though it is true what you have mentioned, that is riba. If it is untrue, it is buhtan, open slander, serious slander. Worse, when it is a lie, and you are mentioning it in his absence. If it is true, it is riba. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Subhanallah. One of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, you know the co-wives, how they feel jealous of each other. So she described her sister, I think she was referring to Sophia. And she said to the Prophet, what do you like about her? She's just like this. And she used her hand like this, meaning short, she's short. The Prophet said, oh, you have said a word, what you have uttered just now by just using your hand. She didn't talk, she used her hand. He said, you have uttered and said the word. He considered that action like verbalizing it, like verbalizing, articulating it. You have said the word, if it is mixed with the sea water, it will corrupt and spoil the sea water. Sea water. See the water of the sea? It is saline, which means it will not become corrupt and stinky. That's why it is saline. because there are many living creatures, they die. If it is not saline, the seawater will stink. But because it is saline, salty, the salt kills that smell. And yet, here the Prophet ﷺ said, this word that would you judge by saying and insinuating that he is short, if this word is mixed with the seawater, it will make the seawater corrupt. It will spoil the seawater. The seawater will become stinky, it will stink because of this. Just your hand. Okay, my dear brothers and sisters, everyone knows himself. What do you say? What do you do? How many times you backbite every day and slander? How many gestures you use every day? What are يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا? Then Allah said, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَا فِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. This ayah, anyone who has iman, this ayah should shake him. Allah is saying, would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? When you make ghiba, you are eating the flesh of your brother when he's dead. He's dead because he's not present when you were talking. Eating human flesh is haram. Prohibited. Imagine he is dead and you are eating his flesh. Which means you have been degraded. You went down so low, so low, to the extent that you eat the flesh of your dead brother. When you talk about your brother or sister who's not present. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it. No one would like to that. So Allah said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. Verily Allah is the one who accepts repentance, most merciful. So if you repent, Allah will accept your repentance. Allah also said in Surah An-Nur regarding Hadithat al-Ifk, the event of that serious slander accusing Aisha. So Allah says in Surah An-Nur, Ayah 15, that's why the ulama, they say, this is the constitution of the family, Surah An-Nur. And the Salaf, they used to say, read Surah An-Nur and teach Surah An-Nur to your family. So Allah says, إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. Behold, you received it in your tongues and said out of your mouths things which you had no knowledge. And you thought it to be a light matter while it was most serious in the sight of Allah. اتلقونه بألسنتكم. You spread the rumors. You receive it by your tongues. The moment you heard it, it is there in your tongue and you are spreading this horrible news. You didn't pause, you didn't stop, you didn't verify. And this is what people do nowadays. They receive a message on their phones without checking and verifying, just forward. My dear brothers and sisters, it's the same. You are sinful when you spread wrong information. Verify, check. And if it is true, sisters, cover it up. Don't share it. Don't let that message to leave your iPhone, your phone. اتلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم بعلم. Allah is rebuking and reprimanding and blaming those who fell into that trap of the shaitan and said out of your mouths things which you had no ilm, no knowledge about it. And you thought it'd be a light matter. You think it is nothing. Light matter. And you thought it to be a light matter. Talking about the honor of my prophet. Talking about the most chaste woman. Talking about your own mother. Hassan praised her, radiallahu anhu. Hassan ibn Thabit is the Sha'ir al-Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the poet of the messenger, defending Islam through poetry, Hassan ibn Thabit. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, attack them through your poems. Indeed, they are more painful than the arrows. And Jibreel is supporting you. He said regarding our mother Aisha, Hassanun, Hassanun Razanun, La tuzannu biribatin, wa tusbihu gartha min luhum al-ghawafili. He is most chaste, decent, respectful, cannot be accused of any shameful deed. No doubt can be attributed to her. وَتُصْبِحُ غَرْثَى. In the morning, her tummy is empty from eating the flesh of decent women. Allahu Akbar. Hassan, Razan, that was a nobility, but in he is chaste, modest, respectful, decent. You cannot doubt her. This is her character, Aisha radiallahu anha. And she doesn't indulge in riba, backbiting and slandering. She doesn't spend the whole night eating the flesh of people. وتصبح غرثا من لحوم الغوافل. In the morning, she has nothing in her tummy. He's talking metaphorically, as if when you add the flesh of the human being, your tummy, the whole night you were just gossiping and backbiting, so your tummy is full. But Aisha, no. In the morning, there's nothing in her tummy. She didn't eat the flesh of any Muslim. وَتُصْبِحُ غَرْثًا مِنْ لُحُومُ الْغَوَافِلِ. Her tummy is empty, void of any flesh of the decent women, Muslim women. She doesn't backbite anyone. This is our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. That's why Allah said, and you thought it to be a light matter? وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. While it was most serious in the sight of Allah. Most serious, yes. To accuse the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. So what do you say about this ayah? Oh, you fools who talk about Aisha. Allah saying, insulting her is something great. Serious. Well, it was most serious in the sight of Allah. Most serious. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You think it is something light? You curse Aisha, you curse Hafsa. What deen is this? What type of deen is this? This is not our Islam that we insult. Hafsa salam said, Al Muslim laysa bil sabab, wa laysa bil la'an, wa laysa bil badi. Muslim is not the one who swears a lot, curses a lot, insults a lot. He insults, he curses, and use vulgar language. That's not the character of the Muslim. And you are always, this is your deen, this is your ibadah, this is your adhkar. Cursing Abu Bakr and Umar? And you consider them, they are the idol of Quraysh? What deen is this? Repent. Come to your senses. Wake up. You curse the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Thani Ithnain Idhuma fil Ghar, Idh Yaqulu li Sahibihi, La Tahzan, Inna Allah Ma'ana. Allah chose Abu Bakr to be the companion of his prophet during that dangerous journey. Allah describes him, إِذْ يَقُولْ لِصَاحِبِهِ, his sahib, his companion. And then you insult and curse him. This is your dua always. Allahumma al'an salamay Quraysh wa taghutayhima wa yibtayhima wa ibnatayhima. This is what they are saying in their books. Oh Allah, curse those two idols, those two tahut, and their daughters. That's the dua they read. Allah is saying, وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ regarding Aisha. How about her father? Whose iman outweighs the iman of the ummah. The one Allah, the Prophet appointed to lead the Muslims when he was sick. The father-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah chose him to be the companion of his Prophet in the cave and throughout the journey from Mecca to Medina. And he was always with the Prophet ﷺ, his minister. And Umar the same. And Allah chose for his Prophet to marry their own daughters, Aisha and Hafsa. And then you curse Aisha and Hafsa? Your mother? If you think that you're a Muslim, who will curse his mother? Except someone who is fool, brainwashed. He doesn't know what he's saying and what is coming out of his head. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ وَاللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. So my dear brothers and sisters, we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we say, whatever we articulate, recorded, jotted down, ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. No single word you utter and say, except it is recorded. Recorded. There's a day. If you talk about the Prophet's honor, who will be your enemy there? Your opponent, the Prophet himself. You're talking about my honor, about my family? SubhanAllah. There are many people, my dear brothers and sisters, they're so busy. Not in minding their own business, no. Not in checking their own faults and rectifying them, no. Just in spreading rumors and spread any slander. They hear off. They hear anything. They just spread it. They don't pause. They don't stop for a while to tell themselves, wait a minute, is it true? Let me verify, let me check. And we are living in a time when people are not trustworthy. The majority of the people are not trustworthy. Lying became normal, to lie. And you just keep spreading rumors? When the Prophet ﷺ tells us, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day should say something good or keep quiet. Keep quiet. Check before you say, think. Is it خير? Say it. If it is not, swallow it. Don't say it. And some people, they have this appetite, desire to talk, They can't stop talking. It's a sickness, a disease. The Prophet is saying, don't say it. فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا, say something good. Oh, keep quiet. In the other hadith, he's saying, صلى الله عليه وسلم, مَنْ صَمَتَ نَجَى. Allah Akbar. مَنْ صَمَتَ who locks his mouth. مَنْ صَمَتَ, whoever keeps quiet. نَجَى, he will be saved. He will be delivered. You will be delivered. Try to be as silent and quiet as much as possible. Don't talk except when it is needed. It is needed, you talk. Otherwise, keep this tongue busy with the dhikr and the istighfar, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because otherwise, the shaitan, all of these things, who is agitating us? Who forces us and who encourages us to spread rumors? The shaitan. So that hatred and enmity and hatred will spread throughout the community. People that start hating each other because of the spread of such rumors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the evils and the venom of our tongues. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deed till we meet him. And he is pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah on the haq. May Allah unite our hearts on the haq. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allahu khayra. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Salim. Brothers and sisters, we'll start the question and answers time now. If you have your questions, please send them in fast and we will address them, inshallah. If you'd like to ask the questions verbally, you can do so. We prefer that. Just simply raise hand on the chat section and we can take your questions, inshallah. Received some already, so we will begin with those. The first question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I'm asking this question on behalf of a brother. The organization he works for mandates that all their staff must take the COVID vaccine and they must not come to work without showing evidence of taking the vaccine. As you are aware, Sheikh, there are so many uncertainties surrounding the vaccine, especially with the reported fatalities caused to some people's health that have taken it. What should he do as he doesn't trust this vaccine and he is afraid of taking it as he has a family to cater for, and there are not many jobs available out there. And he also believes it is not right to be forced to take something that can cause injury to oneself.
Well, the decision, Akhi, it is yours. You decide. If you are ready to sacrifice and to lose your job because you think and you are certain that this vaccine is going to cause you more harm than cure, the decision will be yours. If you think you are not certain, there are different conflicting opinions and different schools even among the doctor themselves and the expert, and you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you leave your matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from the side effects and the negative effects that there are, and you decided to take it so that you don't lose your job because you have family to look after, and you leave the matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the curer, Allah is the healer, Allah is the Shafi, and nothing will harm except by his leave and permission. So you prayed istikhara, then you decided to take the vaccine. You are not sinful. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect those who have taken it from any side effects or negative consequences. Ameen. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah, it's clear, Sheikh. If not, they can ask again. Next question. When two people are praying in congregation and a third person joins them, the imam is supposed to remain in his position while the other two step back. What if the imam steps forward while the other two remain in the same position? Does the fact that the imam moved affect the validity of the prayers?
No, it doesn't at all. It doesn't. Next.
Next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah reward you, Sheikh, immensely for sharing the beneficial knowledge. Alhamdulillah. This is a question from a friend. My daughter is eager to pursue medicine for which she requires to travel from India to Russia. My husband passed away and my son is 8 years old. I don't know how to handle her. Kindly advise and assist me how to confront my daughter's request to pursue such a noble career in the absence of a mahram. Jazakallah khair.
The answer, it is haram to travel without a mahram. And it's not necessity. She can seek medicine within India. She can learn medicine in India. Okay. So to travel for a woman to travel without a mahram, it is haram, and she is sinful. She is sinful. She cannot travel without a mahram. So if he believes and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what her prophet told her, that a woman cannot travel without a mahram. If she travels, then she is sinful. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he already registered to go for jihad. And he said, my wife set out for Hajj without mahram, with a group of people. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, leave the jihad and follow your wife. Go, join your wife. Leave the jihad and go with your wife. And many people, they treat this matter easily nowadays. So traveling without a mahram is haram. So this sister should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she can seek learning medicine within her country. She's in India, she can learn medicine in India. Okay. No need for her to travel. If she gets married, then she wants to specialize, then she has to go with her mahram. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. If not, they can ask again. We go to Sadman Saqib. Please unmute your mic. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for the session. Alhamdulillah, it was very beneficial. Alhamdulillah. Sheikh, I have a question regarding, you know, living with people of bid'ah are living with the people of sinful people who have some lust and desires. So which one is should be better in perspective of Deen al-Islam?
You are living with people who are what?
Following the bid'ah, following strongly on bid'ah, like some maulid or some, bid'ah things, and they hold strictly on to this. And there are also, some friends who are following, some hawat, like whims and desires. So a brother asked me personally that which one is better, living with sinful people or like living with people of bid'ah. So this is my question.
Okay. Now, you have roommates. This Muslim is pious, practicing, praying, fasting, and he believes in the Mawlid. Okay. Not shirk, he doesn't have shirk stuff. He thinks Mawlid, it's okay. That's his problem. Okay. You have another roommate. Every day he brings blue movies and he plays them in front of you. Which one you will choose? Which one will
harm you? Probably the one who is practicing, inshallah.
Okay. The one that will have direct impact on you and will make you leave the Islam and leave the Salah. Whereas the other brother who thinks about the Mawlid, we are not saying Mawlid is correct, no. But we are now having, you have two. You see the contrast. That one, that brother who believes that Mawlid is okay, he will wake you up with the Fajr prayer. Get up, Akhi, get it, it's time for Salah. But the other one is taking you straight to the Jahannam. Is it clear to you?
I'm Sheikh. Yes, Jazakallah khair.
Ayyak.
Okay, let's go to the next question, Sheikh. What can we do besides reciting Surah Al-Baqarah moving in a house? The previous residents had a dog in their house.
They had what?
They had a dog.
No need to do anything. Okay, because the impurity of the dog is the saliva of the dog. So no need to do anything. You just, as you said, you read Surah Al-Baqarah, those things. And don't say, oh, there was a dog here, maybe the dog did this or that. Leave this all, because this is all shak, doubt. There's no yaqeen. Okay. And if you want to wash the house, if it is not furnished, it's up to you. Okay. But basically, if you just moved in and you didn't do anything, it's okay, no problem. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. And that was our final question for today, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. If you'd like to conclude, inshallah.
Barakallah feekum. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status in this world and the next, inshallah. May Allah bless you and bless your family, protect you and protect your family. And may Allah grant us the beneficent knowledge and righteous deeds. Amen. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Fi hifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.